If I had to think of a time I personally smelled my worst, it would have to be after one of Jay's concerts, an outside concert at that. My right armpit was ripe for the pickings, smelled like beef stroganoff. I kid you not, it was rancid. As a special offer, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. Use code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, at LumiDeodorant.com. And that's LumiDeodorant.com. I personally freaking love Lumi. I have every scent. My favorite one is the toasted coconut, though, because even when you sweat, it still smells so good and so yummy, and you feel like you're on a tropical island. But I promise you guys, any sort of smells you could possibly have, Lumi will cover it up. Once again, as a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, at LumiDeodorant.com. From crash diets to fad diets, injections and pills, the weight loss industry is a cash machine, but it is all temporary because once you stop, most people gain the weight back plus a little extra. Imagine all that time and money and you're still left hiding your body under baggy clothes or turning the lights off when you're with your significant other because you're shy or embarrassed about your body. Well, Sono Bello can help you change the way you look at yourself. In one visit, you will see the difference in your tummy, side, thighs, arms, or wherever you have stubborn fat. You guys know me. I let you guys know when I get stuff done. I absolutely do not see anything wrong with getting a little bit of laser lipo done. I had it done right before the Grammys and it smoothed my hips for my dress. And let me tell you, I will do it again and again and again. Schedule your free consultation and learn all about microlaser fat removal. Give yourself the gift of a full body reset. You deserve to be happy. Sono Bello is running a great special right now. Visit SonoBello.com/bunny, B-U-N-N-I-E. That's SonoBello, SonoBello.com/bunny. What's up, guys? Don't forget to sub to Patreon so that you can see the visuals. Because not only do we have episodes of the podcast, we have exclusive content that nobody else sees on any other apps, behind the scenes, photo shoots, and we're dropping a whole bunch of surprising stuff this year. So if you guys don't want to miss out and you want to be the first to know, go over to our Patreon, www.dumbblondeunrated.com. Love ya. Is this thing on?
All right, gentlemen, coming to main stage next, this is Bunny. Get up there. She's got a tornado of titties coming your way. Get those dollar bills ready. She's got an ass that shakes like Michael J. Fox. So get up there and throw them dollars.
Dude, that is fucking iconic.
What's up, you sexy motherfuckers? Welcome to another episode of Dumb Blonde. Today I have my brand new bestie in the house. I know you guys love him online. I love him online. And meeting him in person, he smells really fucking good. And he is a tall glass of water. Leo, baby, what is up?
Hi, baby. I'm so excited to be here.
Dude, I'm so happy you're here. I did not know you were a Texas boy.
I was born in Florida, but I just moved to Houston.
Oh, okay. So how long have you been in Houston? Because I'm from Houston.
I'm coming up on a year.
Oh, wow.
And I'm already sick of it.
Oh, really? That was my next question. Why are you sick of it?
I just feel like I've outgrown it.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to like be like an egotistical asshole, but like the opportunities there, they don't excite me.
Aww.
I like to be scared. I like to feel like I'm intimidated by an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel that. Like LA is where I'm moving to in July.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Plot twist. I haven't told anyone that.
Wow, that's crazy.
I'm moving because like that's the shit that makes me scared.
So I grew up on the West Coast. And if I could give you any advice before you go to LA, and I don't want to crush your dreams, I feel LA has lost its sparkle. It's not like it used to be. Yeah. I don't know how much time you've spent out there, but like I grew up LA, Vegas. So it's like back in the day, it was like so cool. And now I feel like every time I go there, like I really feel like it's just like a city of lost souls, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, but I do not to be a dream killer, but
no, I literally went there for 6 days for a trip and I was like, oh, I love it. Here I come.
Oh, I love it. Well then go baby, go.
It was more like the people that I met.
Yeah.
That made it the experience. There were some fake people. You can just smell it. A lot of people say LA is fake. There's all this and that. Like if you don't have a good judge of character, of course. But
yeah.
I can kind of like just like smell it.
No, I think you can see through people's bullshit. Yeah. For sure. So I
fell in love with you on TikTok. I think you came across my page and I was like, who is this fine ass motherfucker? I was like, he is beautiful. But not only just your looks, your just how you are on the inside is what's so beautiful to me and like what drew me in with you. And then as I started watching you, I was like, oh my God, I need to have him on the podcast. And then I saw how many other people love you. And then I found out you had a podcast. Let's talk about your podcast.
Yeah, my podcast. I'm the first gay person to chart number one in education.
I love that.
Which is huge. Like, that I get chills huge. Talking about it. Like, my nipples are so hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. But, like, that podcast, I literally started it from my dad's closet. Like, aww. I just had my phone. It's funny, in the closet. But I just started, like, with my phone in the closet, like, propped up on a shelf, and I would just talk shit. And I would just share, like, anything I've learned and knew about life that I couldn't find when I was, like, struggling. And then it just, like, snowballed, and I've been doing it for like a year and a half. In the past 3 months, it has blown up.
Aww.
And now I'm not in the closet no more.
Isn't
literally
it,
or figuratively.
Isn't it crazy how podcasts can be so therapeutic?
Oh, I love it.
I suffer from really bad mental health. I have really bad anxiety and like suicidal ideation and stuff like that, which we just had told me that you had a bout with that. And I've been doing my podcast for 5 years and it's been one of the most therapeutic things I've ever done.
It really
is. It's really helped me kind of come out of my shell.
Yeah. Mine kind of is like sharing what I've learned, but it like heals me in a weird way.
Right.
By like sharing what I've been through and sharing how I've overcome it. I learn a lot of things and it's like my own little therapy, but I'm the therapist and the client.
Right. You control the narrative. I totally understand.
It's so nice, but I fully get it. And there's been multiple times where the things that I say, I always speak to my younger self in my podcast. So my messages are very harsh and direct and harsh truths. And it's like, I baby you when it's necessary. And then I tell you to get off your fucking ass and quit being a bitch.
I think people need that though.
Yeah. But like, there's so many times where I'll say certain things that I needed to hear so bad. And when I'm editing it back, I'll just start fucking bawling like a baby. And I'm like, hearing like myself say it, hearing anyone say it was just like, whoa.
Aww.
Like, I have those moments. I love it.
Yeah, I love that too. I love listening to you because you are so kind of poetic with your words too.
Thank you.
You draw people in. Let's rewind it though. I want to know more about you, like where you came from, like growing up. I want to know about childhood traumas. I want to know all about Leo. And I want to pronounce your last name. How do I say it? Is it Skeppy?
Yes, Skeppy. Skeppy.
Okay, I wanted to make sure I said it right. I want to know all about Leo Skeppy. So where was Leo born?
Pensacola, Florida.
Okay.
Well, every time I say I'm from Florida, people are like, oh, Miami. I'm like, mm-mm.
The absolute
opposite end of it in the worst spot. Pensacola is right next to Alabama, but it's also right next to the beach.
Right.
So you get so many different dynamics of people. Like you have like the little city people. It's like there's certain areas that are like ghetto as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like the murder rate and the crime rate is so bad. And then you have like the hicks and like the country people from Alabama who don't mind their fucking business.
Right.
And so I have like that. And then you have like the beach people. And it's like, it just was a melting pot, but it contributed to me being who I am. Like, I got
so
it all.
Did you grow up there like your whole life?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's where you grew up. And then were you raised by mom and dad?
Yes. So my dad is Albanian and my mom is white.
That's where your intensity comes from.
Yes.
The Albanian
but my
side.
Mom moved in with my dad and his family at 16 when they met. So she was raised as an Albanian girl. So she has all the morals, traits, values. So that's kind of like how. It's like she's white, but I was raised in like a traditionally Albanian household and nuts.
Was it super strict growing up or like super religious?
Not really, but I don't know how to explain it. Like it wasn't bad. You're just raised. It's like the way you can explain the Albanian way of life and culture is it's the all the morals and values of like the mob mafia lifestyle are instilled in everyday people. So like the loyalty, respect, all of that is like very high held.
Absolutely.
And that's how you're judged.
I grew up with a bunch of Chaldeans in Vegas and that's how they operate too.
Yeah. Like there's no betrayal. There's no nothing. And if you cross one, you cross all.
Yeah.
So everybody will come at you. Like that's the way I can explain Albanian culture. But like the biggest thing for me kind of with all that, back to my past and all that shit. I got bullied in high school. I was fat. I was ugly. I was all that. But the biggest thing with the Albanian culture is the most, like the biggest disgrace and the worst thing you can do is be gay. And here I am.
So were you always, when you were a baby, growing up, were you always attracted to boys or? Did something happen? Like, was something traumatic or?
I wish it was that simple. Like, I wish something just fucked up happened to me. No, it was kind of like a battle with my sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And I started getting feelings for guys at a younger age, like middle school type. But I was like, no, they're just my friends.
Right.
And I was like looking at them a little different and I would just shut it down in my head.
I was humping girls when I was 5. So. I mean, I was a horny little goat. It's all right. I think it just is something. But the thing is like, I don't consider myself gay because like I love men. I need penetration, but I also appreciate women, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, does that make me bi? I don't know. You know, like I think everybody wants a label and it's just like, just be who you are. Love who you love.
I know. I'm like that. I wish I wasn't gay, but I'm just a faggot. I can't help it. Like I like men, but I don't like little sissy men.
Right.
I like tough men.
We're going to get into that because when I first saw you, I was like, he is so fucking hot. So I would think that women would try to like turn you out because you're so masculine, but you're like so in touch with your feelings and like you're like a dream guy for every girl. Like, you know, every woman's probably like, I am so confused watching this man every day.
Yeah, I have a lot of people that try and like convert me and sway me. But one thing that I do is I don't.
He said that so calmly. He said, I do have a lot of people who try to convert me and sway me.
Yeah. But like I do like to make out with my girlfriends. I love kissing girls. Yeah. I love being affectionate. But when it comes to sex, it's like I need the masculinity.
Yeah.
It would just be so easy if I was straight. So easy.
I mean, but you love who you love, you know?
I don't
it's like
love
me. I like to make out with the girls whenever I'm drunk or like I'm going out too, you know, but I need a man to fucking toss me around. So let's bring it back. You said in junior high school is when you started noticing that you were attracted to boys and stuff like that. Take me on that journey because you're in this really, you know, I don't want to say strict Albanian lifestyle, but, you know, you were raised in a certain way where it wasn't acceptable.
Yeah, so I had the thoughts, but I immediately just shut them down. Like, even, like, as I got into high school, I was more like, okay, I am 100% into guys. Like, mm-hmm. I know it. Mm-hmm. But I was like, that will never come out of me.
Right.
I will never act on it. I will never do anything. That's not a potential, so don't even think that way.
Aww,
and I just shut it down inside myself.
Do you think you did that because of how you were raised or because you were like, okay.
And like for me that someone looks like me and behaves like me and is from where I'm from, I never in my life thought I would come out ever. Mm-hmm. And just like to have, like, I'm such a contradiction, like the typical gay, I'm not.
Right.
And the typical straight dude, I'm not. So like, I've never felt a sense of belonging or felt like I've fit in. So I don't know why I thought I'd have like an easy time with sexuality, but I don't fit any kind of like stereotype.
Right.
And I like it now.
No, I love that though.
Damn challenge to get here.
So it's when you finally did this, were you close with your dad and close with your mom or how was that relationship? And do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes. My sisters.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So I have a sister and my relationship with my parents has been back and forth. Like they got they started getting divorced when I was like a child, but it strung out in court and it was like an absolute shit show. And it was just like a lot of like things kids shouldn't know.
Oh.
We were told and we had to make adult decisions from a young age.
Oh.
And then it was like the loyalty thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you showed appreciation or cared about one parent, the other parent took it as a betrayal. So it was very hard to navigate. Like, I came from fucking both of you.
Yeah.
And you want me to pick? It's like, it's one parent was always pushing more of the picking, but it wasn't really, it was just a lot to take in.
Right.
And it was hectic with that. But what was the question? I got off track.
No, I mean, I was just saying, were you close to your parents?
Yes, I was close with them, but I've cut both of them off at multiple points. Like, I've stopped talking to both of my parents. I fucked up sometimes. They fucked up sometimes. It just was back and forth. But now I'm in a place where we're good.
Right.
So
growth, yeah,
like everything happened how it had to and we wouldn't be where we are.
Isn't it so crazy how dysfunctional all of our parents are? Like every one of us sitting in this room, fucking besides the two that, you know, that share parents, it's like we all have dysfunctional ass parents, you know, like they just did not heal. They were the generation that chose not to heal. And I feel like we're the generation that has came in and we're like, bro, we are going to fuck shit up and we're going to change this shit no matter what. The genetic DNA fucking trauma, we are just changing this shit. And I love that for all of us.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with that kind of perspective on it is our parents, they feel things. They don't like certain shit. They don't follow the way that they feel. They don't care that they're uncomfortable. They'll just suck it up and just deal with shit.
Yeah.
Our generation is like, okay, why am I upset?
Right.
Do I actually have to continue doing this?
Right.
We started questioning shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, we don't actually have to do this. Mm-mm. Like, to live a miserable life? No.
I'm good. Not doing it. No. Yeah. So when did you come out to your parents? Was it after school?
So
he's like, I'm about to get uncomfortable.
I am sweating already.
Aww. Take a drink. Take a drink of your shit.
A drink and a cigarette. You have a shot?
We have Trulies. Trulies have vodka in them, right? I don't know. I've never drank one. I'm sober, so I don't drink them.
I know. When I found out you didn't drink, I was like, oh, fuck.
I had to, okay? Listen, it was bad. I was fucking popping pills and fucking drinking bottles of vodka by myself. It was a thing. Okay. I grew up in Vegas, okay? Like, I lived the Vegas lifestyle.
Okay. So I have to talk about kind of coming to terms with my sexuality a little first, because I went from like, okay, I know that I'm into guys, but I will never act on it. And then I started seeing a therapist and I was like,
I love that you were that young and you were so conscious to go see a therapist.
Yeah, I was like 19.
Wow.
The reason I went to a therapist is because I hadn't cried since I'm like 12.
Oh.
So I was like 19 and I was like, why don't I feel the emotion of sadness? Like, I don't feel sad. I get pissed off or I'm happy.
Why do you think that was? Or did you come to a conclusion of why that was?
Sad and being hurt in any way was looked at as a weakness. Mm-hmm. So I completely cut off from that part of myself. Like, I would feel numb, pissed off, or happy. Mm-hmm. And I got such like a deep pit of like that numbness one time. I was like, I'm having all these like traumatic ass things happen to me and I don't cry.
Right.
I was like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
So I'm like 19. I'm like, oh, how I made money was another story.
Oh, we're gonna talk about that too. Don't think you're getting out of that. Were you already doing that in high school? I thought maybe that would be after, but you said some traumatic things were happening to you. What are some of those traumatic things that were going on that you weren't reacting to?
Okay, so like everything going on with my parents, betrayals from other family members, trying to be killed by a few people. One was family.
Why?
Crazy shit, Albanian shit. My stepdad was extremely, I don't know how to explain him and the dynamic of him, but he was like extremely abusive and prepared me for life. Like, he was an ex-con, had murdered a bunch of people, served his time, got out, still operated from the prison mentality. Mm-hmm. So he was like,
it's hard to break that.
Oh, you can't break it. Mm-mm. It's like when people come back from war.
Yeah.
Like, once your brain's completely altered. Like, when you see the world in that way, you can't forget it. Mm-hmm. So like, he knew how dark the world was and he wanted to prepare me for it. But what he did to me was like, do everything to me that could be done to prepare me.
Aww.
So like, anything you can imagine, like, went through it. Like, he had like choked me out, put a gun to my head, like attacked me when I was sleeping multiple times. So I was always ready, even while I'm asleep. Like, people will come up to me now and like try to put a blanket on me when I'm sleeping. And my body just like, I start like swinging just out of like,
Did you ever suffer from like anxiety and stuff like that? Just
that was the least of my worries. Anxiety, depression.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, bitch, I'm trying to survive.
Right. Like, all of that was there, but like, that was a lot of it. And then
did he ever sexually abuse you?
No.
Okay.
Luckily.
Yeah. I mean, he did everything else.
What else at that point? Yeah. I could have handled it.
God, that's terrible though. How old were you going through that?
It was like 16 to 18.
That's so fucked up. And did your mom know that was happening?
Not really, but he was abusing the hell out of her too.
Mm.
So like, he was doing similar like abusive things to her. So we were both like trapped together and a lot of weird shit with that. But he died like tragically.
Karma.
He was going like 150 miles an hour on a bike. He had a Hayabusa and he would trick it out to go like 300 miles an hour. He was going like 150 and a car pulled out when he was going down
I
don't know, it was a freeway or whatever the fuck it was. Like, he pulled out, someone pulled out and he hit them.
Mm.
And he flew like 60 feet in the air. His head came off in his helmet. He was laying on the side of the road. Yeah, that was like a big thing. I didn't cry.
Ugh.
For like a few months.
Well, I mean, that's kind of warranted. The dude fucking traumatized you, you know?
But I loved him so much.
You had a trauma bond with him.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Like he, I know he hurt me in so many ways, but like his intention was to help me and prepare me. So I know you fucked me up a lot, mm-hmm. but I could take on anything in this world now. I have no fear.
Yeah.
And I don't say that lightly.
I think it's beautiful that you look at it that way. I really do. And I understand it because I was in a severely domestic violence relationship and it has taken me years to cut that cord with the person who hurt me the most physically mm-hmm. and emotionally. So I totally understand. The way that you're looking at it is beautiful though. And it's inspiring because most kids who would be in that situation would, I don't want to say feel sorry for themselves, but would internalize that and it would come out in other ways. So I think for you to be able to look at it and kind of make it into a positive is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. The real thing that made me flip my perspective on it was when he died, it's like he was this thing that was untouchable. Like mm-hmm. no one can hurt him. No one could touch him. I had seen him get shot. I had seen him get stabbed. I had seen him been hit by cars.
Golly.
I had seen him like take on groups of 15 people and knock them all out. Didn't
That's
get touched
a lot
once.
Of violence.
Like a fucking superhero. And like I had this person. It was weird. Like when I was on his side, I was untouchable. Mm. If he was mad at me, I was fucked. Like no. he would kill me. So on his good side, I felt like safe and protected. Like he was showing me how bad the world was. But he was the only one that could hurt me. And then I saw how like dark the world is and what can actually happen, what people are capable of.
Yeah.
And when I lost him, I was so fucking scared. Aww. Because I was like, this person showed me how bad the world is and is no longer here to help me.
To protect you.
And I was just like, that's what made me flip it in my mind of like, now I'm sad I lost him because I'm fucking terrified.
Aww.
That was like a big part of it.
So take me on that journey after losing him. What you were already getting involved in stuff, illegal activities.
Yeah.
Can we talk about it a little bit?
Let's talk about it.
I know you said you've hinted about it online and stuff like that, but what was Leo doing? Were you like fucking
so when
Scarface?
I was like 17, I started, I want to say escorting.
Okay.
But fucking for money, basically.
I love it.
But I would never fuck anyone for money that I wouldn't fuck for free.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I was like, I don't want to do no nasty shit.
Yeah.
But I started like having sex for money.
How old
started
were you?
Started off, I was 17.
Okay.
Like I couldn't get hired anywhere. I was trying to get jobs, places, couldn't get hired. So I was like, I got to make money.
Yeah.
So
I was an escort in Vegas.
I know.
Yeah.
That's why I'm comfortable talking to you about it because you get it.
Yeah. No, I understand 100%.
I kind of miss it. It's so fun.
Listen, listen, do I not always say if I will suck a dick for an outfit if I have to?
Like I'm tired of spending my own money.
No, it was, listen, when you are accustomed to a certain type of lifestyle and people just being a sugar baby, like it is really hard to acclimate to the normal world. I will fucking harvest money in my bank account. Ask me, I will not spend it. Like, it's a frame of mind that you just, unless you've lived the lifestyle, you don't really understand it.
Right. I'll get into my sugar daddy story.
Yeah.
But
so 17, that's young because you are underage, you know. Who introduced you to that?
Nobody.
Nobody. You just came up with it on your own or did somebody make an offer to you? Because I know the first time I ever turned a trick was I was... How old was I? Fucking. Well, technically, I guess I was 18 because my first sugar daddy hired me at my job and bought me my first car.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
But
what kind of car?
I didn't turn. It was a Honda.
Okay.
This was back in 1998.
That was when I was born.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. No, I've lived a few lives before you, baby.
Oh, I love it.
But then my first trick I ever turned, I had met the guy in the strip club and he was Persian and fucking. Yeah. So.
I love it.
Yeah, let me hear about this. So 17, you decided that you were going to enter the adult entertainment world.
Not really entertainment, just like the adult, like, I had something I knew people wanted.
Yeah.
A big dick, and I was young, and I was cute.
Yeah.
Like, that was when I finally, like, got my body in shape. I stopped being fat, and I was, like, attractive. So I was like, all right, let's try it. And I had a situation happen where it was, like, I was at a certain hair salon I used to go to. Like, I would, like... be strategic.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to like a nice hair salon and the lady that would cut my hair would have people sit under the dryer and cut my hair. Like women, like rich women would like sit in the chair and I would get my hair cut and then we would like shoot shit and talk.
Mm-hmm.
One time there was a girl there I'm not going to say her name. Fuck that bitch. But we were like shooting shit. We got along. And then she like asked for my number before I left. So like we talked, we hung out one time. And then another time she saw me in the chair, I had on a shirt that said like Sugar Mama Wanted, like as a joke. Mm-hmm. Like I just like had the shirt. I was like, oh, it's funny. And then we ended up hooking up.
Was she older?
Yes.
Okay. Like how much
41
older?
41. Oh, wow. Something.
And you were 17? Mm-hmm. I could never, I'm 43. I could never look at a 17 year old and be like, like this is not, maybe 22, but
I
not
never
17.
Looked or acted my age. Like I don't act 25. Yeah. I don't look 25.
No, you don't. You do carry yourself very.
So we ended up hooking up. And then when I was like going to leave, she handed me $500.
Wow.
And I was like, what's that for? And she was like, oh, I saw your shirt. And I was like, oh, fuck. Okay.
She's done this before.
I was like, fun. So I kept seeing her like a little bit. And then I was like, this could be a thing.
Right.
But then I realized like sugar mamas are harder to find than sugar daddies. So yes. That's when I was like, I'll start exploring sugar daddies and fucking men for money.
Okay. So before you did that, were you still kind of like trying to, you know, squash down those feelings of being with men, or had you already been with a man?
I hadn't.
You hadn't been with a man yet.
Okay. So I don't know if I have or hadn't. I can't remember. There's too much to fill in. No. We're going to. But with therapy, the whole thing with that, like I was talking to my therapist, and that was the first person I talked to about the feelings I had. And like when I was trying to speak it, my body, like full fight or flight mode, like I couldn't speak. Yeah. Like I couldn't speak. Like I think I might be attracted to men. Like I could not get it out. I was sweating. Oh. And like my body was like shutting down. It's like everything inside me was like not letting me reveal this truth. And it's like I had to like rip it out of myself. I was like, can you just speak it out? And my therapist was like, no, you're totally fine. You're totally fine. And just like held space for me. Mm. And then I got it out. And though I am so egotistical and ego driven, and I was bringing it up to her like I'm into guys because I like to demasculinize them. Like I like to fuck men, and like I'm attracted to men that I could like, I see all macho and tough stuff, and then I get to fuck them. It's like, that is still a fetish of mine.
No, I completely understand. I have said it a million times on my podcast. I got into escorting because I got to take men's money. I would rob them. I would tell them when they could touch me, how they could touch me. And this is because I was abused as a little girl. So it was me taking my power back. So for you, it was the same thing of you taking your power back.
That for you is healing. Because I heard someone, I think it was Teal Swan, she talked about the version of healing that everybody thinks it is not it. Like healing is to experience the opposite. So if you had an experience where you were taken advantage of and didn't have any control over a sexual situation, to experience a sexual situation where you have all the control, that's healing. Even though people were like, oh, it's fucked up, you stole, you this, you that, shut up.
Yeah.
That healed you. That experience was healing.
You are my bestie, Leo.
I'll fight for you.
I love you.
I'll literally kill for you.
Literally same. But for you, was that the same experience? Like whenever you finally did get to be with men, was it healing for you? Because you were, you know, this might be the wrong word to use, but you felt so helpless as a child because you were being, I don't want to, you know, abused by your stepfather. Do you think that might have played a role even younger? Like you didn't have an opinion. You weren't allowed to have an opinion because of being raised in, you know, that lifestyle. So you had to be macho. You had to be manly. So do you think that maybe that in turn kind of like internalized into feelings of what you were starting to feel for other men and about how you wanted to dominate them and stuff?
I tried to pick it apart from every angle. I just didn't want to have to accept that I was gay.
Yeah.
I literally was like, no, I'm not into guys. I want to look like certain guys. I'm not attracted to them. I just admire certain traits. My therapist was like, that's not typically how it goes. Like she would politely like shut down all the holes I was trying to shoot in my argument of like, I'm a faggot. Like I didn't want to be. That was like the worst thing I could be for myself and my life.
But it's beautiful though.
I was literally like trying to nitpick it. And I was like, am I attracted to them? No, I just like to demasculinize them. Right. Like, and then I was like, you kind of are attracted to them too. Like I had to like be real with myself.
Right.
And I finally got to a point where I was like, all right, like I'll just like do shit in private. And like, I started like experimenting, and then I started
going into... Do you remember the first time with a man or no? Were you probably too nervous? And were you getting paid? Was your first time with a man getting paid?
It wasn't transactional.
Right.
But I got paid.
Right. Okay, gotcha. So you were a sugar baby.
Basically. Much. So yeah. That's my first, like, situation.
Okay.
And, like, I was... Okay, so, like, I met this guy. And this is where my whole coming out part comes. And okay. I haven't talked about any of this.
Okay.
I've talked about my piece of shit ex that I fucking hate. Mm. And this is him. But I met this guy online. And he was basically like... He wants to hang out, but I was like, what the fuck am I going to get? Like, we were on a sugar daddy website.
Right.
Let's make it clear. I'm not someone that likes gray area.
Yeah, me either.
I don't like the bullshit.
Let's get to the point.
Right.
Absolutely.
Like, if there's a transaction, I want both ends clear.
Right.
So it was basically come fly to Atlanta and hang out with me for the weekend. And he was like, what would you like want to do? Like, shopping wise. And I was like, I want a Louis Vuitton backpack. And it was like $3,000. And I was like, I'm getting a Louis Vuitton backpack. I was like, okay, so we'll hang out. And there was no sex, like, promise or anything like that. It was just like, hang out, see where it goes.
Right.
And when I got there and we met, it was like, the money part was enticing. And I knew I was getting a backpack, but feelings quickly arose.
Aww.
And I was like, this is not a sugar daddy dynamic. This is not a escort dynamic. This right. is like... weird.
Right. And when you were attracted to him.
Yeah. When we went to the mall, his behaviors made him attractive at the time. He wasn't that cute. But like, it was my first time.
I don't
time.
Know who you're talking about. So.
It was my first time like getting close with a guy like that. So I was like overwhelmed. Like,
you
what the
fuck?
You were
able to be your true self.
Yeah.
And somebody wasn't judging you.
So we ended up hanging out over the weekend. It was fun. We went to the mall. I got the backpack.
And then, I love that he loves the backpack. Even now when you talk about the backpack, your little shoulders get going.
Like, it was my first like reflection of like money. It was like value. It was weird. Because I was raised very transactional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, money is what's going to make you happy. If you don't have money, you have nothing. Mm-hmm. So I was in school for nursing school at like from 18 to 21. And then I graduated at 21. And this is when I met this dude.
Okay.
So we went to the mall, got the backpack, had sex that night because I was feeling it. Like, I was like, let's fucking do it. Like, we made out and it was just like,
hot.
All right, let's try it. Next day we go back to the mall and he dropped like $15,000 more on me.
Wow.
Like a Cartier bracelet, a Versace comforter, like some hoodies, just like anything I wanted. We were just like running around. Like, I was giving Pretty Woman as fuck.
Aww.
But I was like, this is fun.
Yeah.
But like that high of touching that type shit and like having that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa.
Yep.
And then I saw him again and again and again. And I just kept flying to see him like every other weekend. Like, I'd go home and work and then I'd go see him. And it was just back and forth. But every time we'd hang out, he was like buying me a bunch of shit.
Mm.
Like, anything I wanted, we'd get it. And then we started traveling and doing all these things. But basically how it came to coming out, I was traveling to go see this man a lot.
Yeah.
And my sister knew the truth from the get-go. She's the only one I told about everything.
She's beautiful, by the way.
Thank you. She's gorgeous. So
she looks like she don't play, though.
Oh, she's just like me.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. She has that aura of her.
I'm the
like,
more
don't
fun, like,
fuck around
outgoing.
And find out.
Yeah, I'm the more, like, fun, outgoing one. And she's, like... She's fun and outgoing, but she observes first.
Right.
Like, she's like held back and just like cool. But then as soon as you like make her feel comfortable, she'll like open up and she's just like me.
I love that.
She's awesome. She's very protective too.
Aw, is me she too. Older?
Yes.
We're talking about her like she's not here, but she's sitting right here. I love that.
So with the whole like traveling a lot, I was like, my parents were starting to be like, what the hell's going on? Like, what are you doing traveling so much?
Were you still living at home?
With my dad, yes.
Okay, gotcha.
I was 21.
Okay.
And I had just finished nursing school and I was like, I just got my real estate license too. So like, I graduated nursing school. I had a week between when I started my job. So I went to real estate school and it was like 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day for a week, like Monday through Sunday. And then you take the test, pass the course, and then you go take your test and get the thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. I got that. And I had a whole trajectory for what my life was going to be. I was going to move away. I was going to do real estate. I was going to travel nursing. And then I met this dude and it flipped everything. And my parents were kind of like, what the hell is going on? Like, with this guy, because they knew it was a guy at this point. I was lying and saying it was a sugar mama. And I was like, oh, I'm going to see a sugar mama. And they were like, my mom has never been okay with me like exchanging myself for money.
Right.
And my dad was kind of like, get what you fucking can.
Have you? So this is real dad, not stepdad, right? Yeah. Okay. So to rewind it back, you're very open with your parents then. So your parents know what you were doing with the sugar mamas and stuff. That's amazing, because I was the same way with my dad. I was kind of, my dad groomed me, I guess, to be in the adult industry. He was like, you know, marry for money. And like, you know, that's exactly how my family was too. So I think that's cool that you were able to confide in them and what you were doing.
Yeah.
Halfway.
It's kind of like me and my sister had each other through everything we were going through. And when your relationship with your parents isn't stable, we had to take care of ourselves.
Right.
Like they were there to help, but it's like we raised ourselves. We raised each other. And like, where the fuck was I going with that? The dynamic with my dad and my mom, like telling them things. It's not like I'm confiding in you. I'm asking for your advice. I'm asking for your help. I'm asking for your permission.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't ask for permission.
Right.
My sister doesn't either.
Ask for forgiveness.
Like I'm letting you know what I'm doing because you asked.
Right.
Like you don't get to control my life if you didn't like participate. Like if you're not there for me, if you're not, my relationship with my parents for a while was like roommate. With my dad, it was like roommates. So I was like, there was not really like a dad relationship.
Okay. So it's not like they knew what was going on because they cared. They just knew what was going on because they asked.
Yeah. Like they did care, but like when parents, like my dad works all the time and like that's his, like he has his own business and he's always doing that. So like you don't have time when you're running a big business to, well, big for him. Like, should I be talking about this?
I think they cared enough until like they just, as long as we weren't tarnishing their name, they didn't give a fuck. So as long as we stayed out of trouble, we weren't making them look bad, they didn't give a fuck.
Gotcha. Okay. How did they find out that it was a man that you were seeing?
How, I don't remember. Did we tell them?
It started when the court, when like y'all had the falling out and it went bad, and then you had to come out and tell dad that it was a dude because you were gonna go to court.
Okay, so I only told my mom it was a guy.
Right.
Because I'm very, very close with my mom now. Like, she's, my sister and my mom are my two closest people. And my mom, I'm way more open and honest with. Like, my dad is like a more distant connection emotionally. My mom is very, like, close emotionally.
Right.
And I was, like, I sat her down one day and told her basically that I was seeing, it was a sugar daddy, not a sugar mama.
Right.
And that was my first like talking to her about potentially being into guys. So it was a lot for her to take in.
Did she never suspect that?
Like everyone had suspected it, but no one like really thought.
Right.
Like I was very convincing.
Right.
And I really fucked up the way that I came out to her because I was too ego-driven, like I said, to own up to, I have feelings for guys, because I thought that would make me be disgusting. Right. And like, that's the worst thing you can fucking be is gay. So I was like, I want to be able to like be honest about what I'm doing, but not have to take on the shame and the embarrassment. So I was like, yeah, I'm just fucking him for money though. Aww. And my mom was like, okay, that I'm not all right with.
Hmm.
And like her reaction was like, she's all for me being gay. She's very accepting. And the day that we had the conversation, I misread it. I thought she was not okay with me being gay. She was not okay with me just fucking a guy for money. She's like, you don't need to be doing this to him. Like, if he's over here thinking you actually like him and you're just fucking him for money, that's not fair.
Right.
I was in a full-on relationship with this person. It was not that.
Right.
I just couldn't take the ego hit. I was like, I'd rather say I'm fucking him for money so I can live the best of both worlds. I can be in my relationship and my family doesn't think less of me.
Aww.
But that just shows like the dynamic in my head of like, I thought it was better to look like an escort than to be gay.
Right.
Which like, not that there's wrong with either of them. I could just handle, I'm fucking him for money, not that I genuinely like him.
You weren't accepting it in within yourself that you were gay yet. So it was hard for you to even put that into words.
So I really hurt my mom in this because I cut her off.
Aww.
Because I thought she wasn't okay with my sexuality. She wasn't okay with what I was saying that I was doing to this guy. And we had like a big like fight about it. And then I cut her off for like 3 months and we didn't talk. And then I like, as I was so emotional and in my own head and trying to keep up with all these different stories, I misread what my mom was saying. And I feel so bad about that, genuinely. But I, after everything calmed down and I was further along in the relationship, I was thinking about my mom and I was like, Leo, you fucked up.
No.
So I had to reach back out to her and like we had a conversation and she cleared it up that she was, she's totally okay with me being gay. She's fully fucking supportive.
Yeah.
And anyone that speaks bad of me now, she's like fist up, like gun out, like say it again. Like she's fully there for me and supports. But like she cleared it up and was like, my problem was never that you were gay. I don't want you to ever think that.
Yeah.
My problem was that you were one, like looking at yourself like you're something just disposable you can just exchange for money, and two, like she's like, you're better, like you're worth more than that, and like if you're gonna be doing it for a couple bags and some jewelry, be doing it for a house,
right?
Like she didn't encourage that, but she's like, don't belittle right. yourself like for right. some little shit, like. And then she was like,
we love mom.
Me too. She was like, the fact that you were doing it to him, like I had convinced her I was like manipulating him.
Right.
Like I actually liked him and I was just using him for money. And she was like, I was not cool with that.
Right.
And she's like, I'm still not cool with it, but I am okay with you being gay. And then I came clean and was like, well, I'm actually dating him. Like I had to come out and I felt so bad. I was like, I owe my mom the truth. Right. So even if it makes me look like shit, I'm more accepted of it in myself now. So I came clean. I was like, I'm actually dating him. And she was so excited.
Aww.
She's like, oh my God, I want to meet him.
Aww.
And she was like, it makes me feel better that you're not just like using him.
Right.
And so like we reconnected and rekindled and we're tighter than we've ever been. So aww. I'm very happy about that. She did meet him multiple times. I came when I moved into like, when I moved to Atlanta and lived with him, she came and visited. Like it was a very cool thing.
I love that.
But I didn't come out to my, my dad still thought it was a sugar mama.
Right.
So I need to drink some water.
Is this where it gets fucked
yeah,
up?
Oh, a little.
God.
This is what we're going to do.
I feel so bad. You've been through so much, dude. Like, you guys have had a pretty brutal childhood, you know?
People ask me how I am the way that I am, and I'm like, there's nothing I haven't been through.
Yeah.
I don't say that lightly.
You're a warrior.
I don't want to. I didn't sign up to be God's toughest fucking soldier.
Okay. Like, yeah, but he hands his battle. His hands the, what is it? He hands his hardest battles to the people he, who can handle it. I say the same thing. I've been through a lot of shit too, and I'm like, okay, Lord, enough. I've had fucking enough. Like it. But you know what? My life as I've gotten older has gotten smoother. So maybe it just happens in the beginning, so that the rest of the ride is just home free. You know.
Yeah. But when like, I die yeah. and I get to the gates of heaven, I'm swinging.
Aww.
I don't give a fuck.
He's I'm like, just why did you do that to me?
Everything you wanted to throw at me, there's consequences. Wait till I get up there.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
All right. So let's circle back to dad finding out.
Okay. So when I left my ex, like the most fucked up shit you can do to someone in a relationship, he did. Aww. Everything you can think of that could go wrong.
What happened? Went wrong.
Everything. Think of something right now that could go wrong in a relationship.
I mean, abuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, yeah, that's
physical,
small.
Emotional. What else you got?
Yeah. I mean, I don't trying to kill you.
No.
He didn't try to kill you.
That would have been easy. Oh, he actually did try to kill me because he did lie to me about having HIV.
Oh, my goodness.
That's something I've never said on the internet.
Wow.
Mm hmm.
So he had HIV. That just made my heart drop. So he had HIV and this was your first experience with a man and he lied to you.
I asked him before, like I'm very paranoid about STDs.
Yeah.
Always have been. And I asked him before I met up with him. I was like, you're clean. You have nothing. Like he was like, yes, like I'm clean. I'm like fully like nothing. And he never once tried to look out for my safety. Never once told me to use a condom. Never once told me to anything.
That's attempted murder.
I know. And never told me to get on PrEP. Never like nothing. Like never took one precaution for me to like protect myself. Like knew what he was doing. He was 42.
Wow.
Risking a 21-year-old's life.
Ugh.
So that was a big component. But when I left him, this you might have to cut out, but he also
So, well, shit.
Cut that part out. We'll just, I just wanted Bunny to hear it. It.
Can we bleep it? We'll bleep it. Is this dude on the internet? Because now I got to Google.
No. Oh. He's fucking hidden in a hole somewhere. He's so goddamn scared shitless.
Yeah, don't protect him. If he's, this man literally jeopardized your fucking life, dude. I mean, did you get tested afterwards and all that stuff?
I'm still negative. I'm clean. Thank fucking God. Yay, I literally was so freaked out after I found out. Like, I got like a weird like rash from lifting weights too hard. Like I busted like a vessel in my arm and I was like, it's the HIV. Oh, I was like, oh my God, I'm dying. But I got tested.
Thankfully, HIV is so manageable now and people can live lives with it. And it's not like it was back in the fucking 80s, you know, like it's curable now almost pretty much.
Yeah, there's medications to make it dormant.
Yeah.
So like I'm a nurse and I know all the background to all that, but I got on PrEP like just out of fear. And every like month I was getting tested because it can lay dormant for 6 months and
what
then just pop up.
What is PrEP for people who don't know?
PrEP is a medication that basically lowers your chances of contracting HIV from someone who has it.
Okay,
it's not going to like take it away.
Gotcha.
But it's better to have like a little like soldier in your bloodstream.
Okay. How long were you guys together?
10 months.
Okay. And so you guys have this awful breakup and take me on that ride.
That I had to make a fucking podcast episode about that. It's episode 60 of my podcast. Literally everything you can do to someone in a relationship happened. And then when I left, he tried to destroy me.
Tell everybody your podcast name really quick.
Aware
and Aggravated, episode 60. Go listen to it right now. Okay.
Yeah, that one's a lot. And that's kind of like how I got started on social media and all that. But basically he attacked my life in every way that he could. Because I left him. I was like, the money's not enough. You're not enough. You're like, I want to get the fuck away from you.
So I want to talk about that because I've had so many sugar daddies who were so fucking abusive. I'm talking like they think just because they spend money on you that they own you. And I don't think that's talked about a lot, you know, because we laugh about it and we're like, yeah, being a sugar baby is awesome, blah, blah, blah. But there's also a very dark side to it too. You know, like you have to understand that you don't get all of these things for free and it's not always fucking unicorns and butterflies. Half the time, a lot of these people have like trauma that they've never dealt with, mental illness, and just shit that they take out on you because they feel like they're paying you and you have to deal with whatever it is they fucking dish out at you.
Right.
Yeah.
That was one of the big things is when I left, we were spending like $100,000 a month on anything.
Wow.
Clothes, trips, traveling the world, Bora Bora, Paris, like anything we wanted to do, we were doing it.
Right.
I got access to a lifestyle I've always dreamed of.
Yeah.
And it wasn't enough.
Mm.
And I literally was like, I'm fucking done with you. Like, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah.
Like, before I kill you.
Right.
Because the night that I found out about the HIV thing.
How did you find out?
Sticky story. I'm a Snoopy fuck. I'm nosy. Right. Don't trust no one. It's tattooed on my hand for a reason. I like snooped and found medication and like knew what it was. And he slipped up.
I'm convinced if I was a man, I would be Leo. Literally, I'm such a violent human too. You have no idea. People don't realize that.
Best selling merch is my hoodie and t-shirt that say not above violence.
I need that. I'm going to order it.
Oh my God. I'll literally send you a whole bunch.
Please do. That's a lot, dude, for somebody you guys have been together for 10 months and he's just now saying, yes, I risked your life. Was he remorseful or was it more like, yeah, I risked your life?
No. And one of the worst things was he told me everything he was buying for me is because I was worth it. And I was always like, why are you spending so much money on me? Like, it was at a point where, like, I didn't even want shit anymore. Like, after, like, 3 months, I was like, we can slow down. I'm good. I got enough shit. And he just kept pushing and pushing and more and would just surprise me with shit, buy me shit, force me to go shopping. And I was like, I didn't get it. I was like, why do you keep buying so much? Like, we're together. You've got me. Like, I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
Like, I thought it was an overcompensation.
Mm.
And he was like, it's because you're worth it. And I just want you to know that. When I found out about the HIV thing, he was not remorseful at all. He immediately flipped and was like, the real reason I've been buying you everything and spending so much money on you is because I knew I had HIV. And when you found out, he said, I knew how guilty you'd feel to get me arrested. Because he saw my heart and he saw how much I care about people. And he was like, you're not worth it.
Oh my God.
And was like, I was looking out for my ass. And he's like, and now you're not going to go to the cops about it because you don't call cops. And I was like, this motherfucker.
Wow. I just got goosebumps. I'm like shaking. Like,
but yeah,
I'm
that was a mind fuck from hell. Like, I felt so valuable because he was like doing all this for me and was like, I was like, finally someone sees value in me. And then to have that like flip and was like, I was doing it because I knew you'd feel bad. And you wouldn't take me to court if I spend $300,000 on you on shit.
What a fucking piece of shit. God, he doesn't have a name. You want to drop his name? I mean, like, he's a piece of shit. Good Lord.
Yeah. That's just what like happened in the relationship. After the relationship.
Yeah, let's get into that. So dad, we haven't gotten into how dad found out yet.
We haven't. Mm-mm. That's where we're getting to.
Okay.
So after the relationship ended, he started suing me for anything he could. Defamation of character, domestic abuse, domestic violence, all this shit.
Abuse of power.
Trying to get me restraining orders against me because I have guns and I carry. And he wanted to get them taken away because he's fucking with me and he wants to take my way of protecting myself. I have no physical threat I'm scared of.
Right.
At all.
Yeah.
Like, even if there's a group of 100 people and they're trying to attack me, I'm going to stand there and fight till I die. Yeah. I'm Albanian. That's how we are.
Yeah.
Like, I don't fear anything physically. And he was fucking with me in every way that I couldn't defend myself. So, like, trying to sue me for anything he could make up, trying to get restraining orders on me, went to the Florida Board of Nursing and submitted false claims with his punk ass one-legged fucking mom.
Whoa, mom's almost got took one the leg? Other one
over this bitch.
Goddamn peg oh. leg.
They fucking went to the Florida Board of Nursing, submitted false claims over me. Why y'all laughing? One-legged fucking bitch. And peg I almost took Meg. The second one. I almost took the second one because I was pissed. They falsified claims against me, went to the Florida Board of Nursing, and they were like, he had so much money to pay attorneys to like sue people and sue shit and like get things turned in his favor.
Isn't that disgusting how people can manipulate the judicial system with money?
It starts there.
Fucking disgusting.
So he and his little fucking
I'm so mad.
Mom.
I'm like shaking.
I'm sweating again.
No, I'm pissed.
So they went and submitted false claims to the Florida Board of Nursing. They put my license under review and they launched an investigation on me for 6 months. But when I moved and left him, I went from spending $100,000 a month, never worrying about money again, to going back to making $3,000-$4,000 a month as a nurse. And I was like back working. And that mind flip and that reality shift, what the fuck? Yeah. You've experienced it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's when you're with someone with a lot of money like that, the meaning of money and what it is doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, I was spending like $300 on a fucking Louis Vuitton keychain and buying five of them because I like them.
Yep.
Going back to working as a nurse and making $300 a shift for 12 hours.
It made me go harder. It made me figure out like what I had to do. You know, like I was like, I want to have that feeling again, but happiness.
On my own.
On my own. Exactly.
And now I got it.
Yes. And it makes you go harder to figure out, okay, well, what can I do to fucking get there without having to fucking be abused by somebody?
Yes. So everything going on in court is how I had to go to my dad. I was like, I don't know what to do. I didn't have money like to spend for attorneys.
Right.
Because like, they were big cases and big things he was like
huge.
Bringing up
those
against me.
Accusations are crazy.
Yeah. So I had to go to my dad. I was like, Dad, I have to be honest because I need help. Like, I called him after when I left my ex, I was literally like driving home at like 2 or 3 a.m. because we got in a big fight. He called the cops on me and I just peeled the fuck out and took off and drove 4.5 hours back to Florida. And I called my dad and I was like, Dad, can I please move back in? And he was like, of course. Like, of course. That's one thing about my dad. My sexuality, we don't talk about it. We don't address it. It's don't ask, don't tell. He still asks me if I talk to girls, if I've hooked up with girls. We just avoid that topic. But my safety, he will always care about. Like, making sure I'm okay. No one's going to do nothing like to me without him getting involved.
Right.
So he was like, of course, come home, come home. And like, I drove home. And he helped me unpack all my shit. He was like getting up for work at like 7 a.m. when I was getting there.
No.
And he like helped me and I just like went to bed. He was like, just go to sleep and just wake up, eat good, and we'll figure it out tomorrow. And I was like, okay. So I moved back in with my dad and then I had to come clean. And I was like, it was a guy I was with. Mm. And now he's suing me for like all these things. This was a couple days after being home because it was like just a shit show.
But, and your ex knew that you hadn't come out to your dad, right? So he just didn't care. He was just out to destroy you.
Yeah. So I came out to my dad about that. I was like, it was a guy, but he was like, did you care about him? And I was like, I don't know.
Right.
So I was still kind of playing that thing with my dad of like, it was just an exchange, like a monetary exchange. Yeah. And my dad was like trying to help me with attorneys and shit, but literally no one like knew what to do.
Right.
So I had to represent myself in court. Mm. I started studying law and doing my shit, but my nursing license was under review.
Right.
And I couldn't work as a nurse. So I started partying a lot. Mm. And I tried drugs for the first time. Mm. Like the weekend I drove home, that weekend, like it was like a Tuesday. That weekend, I had never smoked a cigarette. I had never done a drug. I had barely been drunk. And I did coke, Molly, and got shit face drunk in the first night.
Aww.
All at once. I had so much fucking fun.
You were hurt though.
No, bitch, I had a blast. I didn't give a fuck. I was in a house full of rich people and I was like, let's do this shit.
Yeah.
So I had a blast with it. Yeah. And then I started like partying very hard to like cope with my life and like everything he was doing to me, like defaming me online, bought leoskeppy.com and like trashed me on it, made up all this bullshit. This is before I was online.
Wow.
And like ripped me. But I was just like partying. And I started like doing more drugs. I loved coke. Yeah. I had a gold acrylic pinky nail.
Oh, nice.
For like months.
Love it. I used to do 8 balls by myself. It was crazy. 8 balls and Xanax was my shit.
Yeah, I had the Xanax kick.
Yeah.
Like you have to weigh it out. It's like you do too much coke. It's like, I need a Xanax.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, now I need a shot. Oh, now I'm too drunk. I need a fucking bump.
Oh, dude, it's a fucking roller coaster, man.
Yeah.
Trying to even the shit out.
Got into like doing drugs and partying. And then I was like picking up for my friends when I would pick up and I would get enough for them. And then I started realizing like I would go to a party and everybody knew I could like float the initial like $1,000 for everything everybody wanted to like make sure everybody got their shit. Like nobody else was like able to, out of my closer friends, like no one was able to like front the cost to like buy it. So like I've always been smart with money and I like fronted it and I saw how much money can be made there.
Right.
And I was like, here's my way out. Mm-hmm. So I started dealing drugs.
Yeah.
And I was the Molly man. Oh, and everybody knew I had the good coke and the good Molly. And I just started doing that. But I never did anything reckless with dealing drugs. I had this.
Were you still using while you were dealing?
Oh, hell yeah. That whole don't get high on your own supply. Yeah. My shit was good.
He was like, yes, I was getting high.
Like as I'm like packing supply. People, I always like packed it pretty in a little Ziploc bag. Yeah. I didn't do the fucking foil. I don't like that. But like I have my little nail just while I'm going to keep me going, like packing it up. And
do you still use?
Here and there.
Yeah, just party.
But now I'm at a point I'm so scared to die.
Yeah.
Which
and
is
now
weird.
You can't trust. Well, that's one thing you can't come back from. You can get your ass whooped, but you know, you get a batch of bad shit and you know, you're not coming back from that.
Yeah.
So
like I went from fully like not giving a fuck if I died, wanting to die. So like now it's so weird. People don't talk about this. Like now I have an insane fear of flying. I'm scared to do certain drugs unless I know they're fucking good.
Yep.
I'm like so paranoid to everything.
Oh, my biggest fear is death. I used to be the same as you. I thought I was bulletproof. And then like the older I got, I was just like, I'm not immortal and I'm not, you know, bulletproof. Like anything can happen at any time, you know?
So that was the thing is like, I didn't care if I died. I wanted to die.
Yeah.
So I just lived reckless.
You're happy now, though. Yeah. In a place of happiness. So
and
now
I'm like,
you're scared to lose it.
Achieving everything I've wanted. And I'm like hitting my potential. And I'm like, oh, now I'm like I'm like shaky as fuck. I'm like I don't. It's hard to function.
Yeah.
When you have to flip like that.
Yeah.
But with selling drugs and all that, one little part of it is I never did anything reckless. I was never stupid. I would never sell to broke people.
Right.
I would sell to rich people.
Right.
And being a nurse, I made connections with like a bunch of doctors and engineers.
People don't realize that doctors abuse drugs more than anybody I know. I used to have this client who was an emergency room fucking doctor. I've never told this story before. We were getting fucked up doing blow one night. And I asked him, I was like, what is the coolest thing to you about being an emergency room doctor? And he said, looked at me, did the biggest fucking line of coke. And he said, I get to play God. I was like, oh, fucking K. I still get goosebumps fucking thinking about it. I was like, I just remember I looked at him high as shit. And I was like, I'm never going to the emergency room again. I was like, this is fucked up. And I've never forgot that, dude. But You know, motherfuckers in the medical field get fucked up.
They are the biggest druggies and I love them for it. Yeah. They put me in business. I made so much fucking money. Right. But I had a thing with like all the people that I knew, like they invite me to the party. They genuinely wanted to hang out with me. But when I started like dealing and getting them shit, they were like, oh, fuck, come to the party, supply the party. I said, okay, minimum 1,000 if I'm coming.
Right.
Like, you got to buy $1,000 worth of shit. They'd buy 3,000, 5,000. Like, they'd just have people and they would just like, oh, I need more for later. And I would just like go show up to the party, hang out, party with everybody, get everybody their shit, make my money and then party.
And then,
it was so fun.
You figured it out. So rewinding real quick, when your dad found out that it was a guy, was he upset? Like, or was he like, okay, I've got your back, I'm going to help you.
He had my back and was going to help me, but he was just like, okay, it is what it is. It happened.
Right.
Like, you got money out of it. You got your shit. All right, now let's just be done with it. Fuck him.
Right.
Like, and was trying to help me detach from it all.
Good.
And get away from it.
Yeah, love that. That's so fucked up that that dude put you through that, dude. Like, that's crazy. So let's keep going. You fucking are dealing drugs now. You're the life of the party. This dude's still fucking doing weird shit. Did you ever represent yourself in court?
3 times.
Okay, let me hear about that.
I won every time.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
I'm a manipulative fuck. I'm a Pisces.
I mean, but you're also fighting for your life. So is that being manipulative? This person was literally coming against you online and fucking smearing your name.
Yeah.
All he backed you into a corner and he fucked around and found out.
I never like beat him. And that's my biggest regret in this life.
No.
Is not absolutely pummeling this punk fucking bitch into the ground.
Yeah, but the that didn't he happen did to for me, a reason.
I know. I'm gonna get him in hell. I'm gonna get him when I go to hell. That hatred is never gonna come out of me. Like, that is my only regret in this life, is not swinging on people sooner when I used to get bullied. I wish I would have started beating ass a lot sooner and then not ever beating the fuck out of him.
No, I get it.
So I never like hit him, but he would like slap me and shit. And I'm like, you don't know what you're fucking doing.
Right.
Like, if you smack me, like,
you're like, oh, that's cute.
I would laugh.
Yeah, oh, that's cute.
So where are we going with that?
So you had to represent yourself in court 3 times.
So there were things that I did and I would own up to it in court. And he was like, he had a black eye one time because we were fucking. And he like reached up and grabbed my nipples and twisted them.
Ow.
And like pulled them.
Nothing about that feels good.
And I fell onto him. And like when I put my hand down to catch myself, my thumb, like I'm big as fuck. I was like 240 pounds at the time. Like, I'm big, and like me coming down on you, I was like, what the fuck? And like, I put my hand down to catch myself and I hit him in the eye.
Mm.
And it, like, the blood vessels around your eye are very sensitive.
Yeah.
So he got a black eye. It looked like I like hit him, but I didn't.
Right.
He tried to come out with a story and take me to court that I hit him. And I went in court. I was like, okay, Your Honor, I hate to be explicit, but we were having sex. And I told her like what happened.
I bet the judge loved you.
The judge, like, I'm very honest.
Yeah.
Every time I've fought in school, fought and had to deal with cops, dealt with this shit in court.
Yeah.
I'm very honest about what I do.
People can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I did hit him this time. I didn't hit him that time.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
Yeah.
And they just like dismissed that shit because they knew it was so stupid.
That's crazy. So did you ever have to take out anything on him, like a restraining order, or like fucking stop slandering my name online and all that shit?
I tried.
Okay.
And things were avoided because he had money.
Because he had what?
Money. Right. So.
Well, moving on from that, what's Leo doing now? You won your court case.
My best.
Yay. Let's talk about it. We love an underdog story. I love this. So you go through all this fucking shit. What happens now? Are you still dealing drugs or are you getting online?
I have too much to lose now or I would still be in the game.
Well, take me on this journey now of Leo conquering, kicking ass.
I love it. Okay. So I started my podcast. I started getting online because, like I said, he slandered me online.
Right.
So, like, he had this reputation built of me of, like, just this absolute piece of shit.
Is he an online personality?
No.
Okay.
He, like, basically defamed me and, like, made this reputation for me. And I didn't have money to fight it. And once people have a certain perception of you, you can't change it. So I had the realization, like, the only way to change people's perception is to show them who I truly am.
Yeah.
So I started getting online.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to be so myself.
Mm-hmm.
Just genuine, straight up, me and show people my heart, my intentions, my humor, the times I am an asshole. Like, I'm just going to show it all because it will make all those claims become so clearly invalid.
Right. Like, were people believing him? Did he have an audience that actually believed him?
Not really.
Okay.
It was before I got online. So like every job I would try to apply for, things I would do, and like friends, people in my life were finding it. Like, you look up Leo Skeppy, boom, first thing.
Does he still own Leo Skeppy?
No.
Okay. Do you have it? Good.
Don't ask how I got it.
I'm not going to.
So I like came out of hiding basically. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, this name that was built for me, I can just hide from it, or I can blow it the fuck out of the water by like being bigger than that. So I just got online and started being myself, and I made my podcast and all the things that I was going through. I was like sharing how I dealt with it, because like therapists couldn't help me. Literally no one knew what to do to help me, and I couldn't find answers. So I just started sharing all that through my podcast, and I got on TikTok and just started fucking around. People love my personality.
When did you get on TikTok? Like 2020, 2021?
2021, when I was going through court. I started making jokes. Like, I literally was in court one time, and I pulled out my phone and I was like, here I am in court because my ex is fucking psychotic and like couldn't handle losing me. And everybody, like, it blew up and everybody was like, oh my God, he's funny as hell. So everybody was kind of invested in it. So I just like started like talking shit. Mm-hmm. Then he was trying to sue me for those videos. And I was like, eat my dick. I literally told his attorney, and three attorneys he hired, I told them all to eat my dick at least once.
Right.
Pretty sure they would want to.
Yeah.
Faggots. That's one thing I do, is I'd be throwing around the word faggot like it's nothing.
I love it, because I came from an era where that word wasn't what it means now. Yeah. You know, so like even like the R word, you know, like we used dude, the R word, you know, I can't say it because people come for me all
you
the time.
You can have a
time. Pad. Yeah.
You're me in a female body.
Yeah, literally.
Say faggot.
But, you know, people fucking, everybody's so fucking sensitive now. And it's just crazy to me. I think it's intention. How you say the word is intention. You know, like, that's how you guys should judge when people say certain words. Like, what is the intention behind it? How are they directing it? Describing yourself and like joking around. You're not like looking at somebody, calling them that, being rude. So,
oh, I'll do that too.
I know,
but
you
like
will.
With me, like, I was bullied so bad over the word faggot, and it used to hurt me so bad. So it's like, now, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I'll fling it around. Yeah. Whether it's derogatory or a joke.
Right.
But like, if someone else, I'm very protective of people. Like, if someone else calls someone a faggot, nah, it's a problem.
Right.
I could do it, not you.
Right.
Because I know I'm not trying to hurt them.
Exactly. Intention.
But where were we going with the
whole thing? We were talking about just how you fucking rose from the ashes like a goddamn phoenix, baby.
Yeah. Like a dragon. I'm spitting fire
literally
on these bitches.
Literally, just fucking coming up. Oh. So you got on TikTok and you started your podcast, and then just shit just started going from there?
Yeah, I started the app Positive Focus. It's like an app for your phone that will send you positive quotes like throughout the day. Like, really, there's a lot of apps that are kind of like that, but it's like bullshit.
Yeah.
I made things that would actually flip your perspective, because like when I was going through a lot of like of the worst stuff, it's hard to think positive about anything. So I was like, if I could just have an app that would like send me something to think about, I don't want to have to put effort into thinking positive. Like, just prompt me on my phone and I'm fine. So I made it because I couldn't find it. And
I love your mentality.
I did that. And I used the drug money to fund it, because it was like 30K.
I love that. I used all my hooker money to build this.
Word.
Yeah, you got to, baby.
We are the same.
Literally. No, I swear. It's scary.
So I made that, got on social media, got on TikTok, started my podcast. And then in the past, I'd say 3 months, since like February, everything has like
snowballed,
tripled.
Yeah.
Like, I gained like 2 million followers. Well, I gained like 1 million in the past month and a half. I gained like 100,000 on YouTube in the past month and a half. My Instagram has grown like 150,000 or like 170,000 in the past like month and a half. It's like,
it's because
finally the value I'm sharing is being recognized. Amen. And I'm like, I've never doubted myself once. I'm like, these motherfuckers are just stupid. And they want to listen to Jay Shetty and Mel Robbins and all these people.
Yeah.
Not that I don't like them.
Right.
But they just, there's surface level self-help.
Right.
I got the real shit.
Right. Like, you've been through shit. I feel like a lot of self-help people haven't been through a lot of deep shit. They just like woke up one day and were like, I just want to be a self-help guru, you know? And like, they just start.
Wake up and start your day with a lemon water.
Yeah,
and journal.
Exactly.
Shut
Go the sit
fuck
in
up.
The
I
sun.
Have a cigarette.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure.
Like, they're not realistic.
So you have this app. You like, what is in store for Leo? Like, tell us, what do we have to look forward to? Like any cool news that we can talk about?
Actually, I do have some big news. Do you know the agency UTA?
I don't.
Okay. They're one of the biggest agencies.
Mm-hmm. I just signed with WME, so I know like WME, CAA.
Okay.
Yeah.
The past 3 weeks, everything's been blowing up. I've been charting on the podcast. All these companies have been reaching out to me. I've been having meetings out the ass. My manager and me are both like overwhelmed.
Yay.
I'm a one-man team, and that's something people don't realize. Like everything that I do is by myself. As of 2 months ago, I started working with my manager.
Yeah.
But everything I do, produce, make, film is all me. Yep. No one edits shit. I do it. I'm picky.
Same. It's just nobody. Me and Mimi. We just hired on WME in January.
I love it. So they saw, like, every company has, like, seen me blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wants a piece of it now. And they want to, like, help me and, like, help me. They see me as a fucking check. I don't forget that. I ain't stupid. So all these companies.
They also probably see your worth, too.
That, too.
Yeah.
So a lot of these companies have been, like, fighting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had meetings with every agency you could think. Like, WME, I had a meeting with them. And
I need to introduce you to my agent Sloan. You would fall in love with her. And really? She is a fucking go-getter. She is a goddamn tiger. Like, she's crazy. Yeah. I'll definitely hook you guys up so you guys can
chat. I love making connections like that.
Yeah, she's amazing. But
this whole world like just flew open for me and I didn't realize this much goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just signed with UTA 2 days ago. So like they're fully like about to take over and like everything I want to do, I finally have a team of people who can make it happen.
Yay.
I don't have to be the one making all these businesses and doing all this shit. I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
I did.
It's scary giving up control because I'm in that right now. I have to hire. It. Yeah.
I'm under so much pressure. I'm just like.
Me, I'm kind of like, oh, I don't know. You know, like I just, it scares me because we've done for 5 years. It's just been me and Mimi. So bringing all these other people in, I'm just scared because it's like nobody sees your vision the way that you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first fuck up, I'm like, you're out of here.
Same. I'm very cutthroat.
Yeah. Same.
Because I'm a perfectionist and I don't tolerate nothing less.
Yeah.
But when I was growing on social media, a lot of people liked my podcast and asked me to start like, can I work with you one-on-one? Can you coach me?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. So I got my life coach certification and just started like one-on-one coaching people.
Aww.
In the past 3 months, I haven't had time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've literally had to take a break from it to reposition everything.
That's your feel good. Like you like.
Yeah, I love doing that.
Yeah.
But I'm at a point now, there's thousands of people trying to sign up for it. I don't have time. And I'm trying to stabilize everything with my career first and then get that back incorporated. I don't know how the hell I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to figure it out. But I signed with UTA.
Congratulations.
They're the biggest. They only have like 200 and something people. They signed Paris Hilton, fucking Alexander Cooper, Emma Chamberlain, Bretman Rock. Like they sign all these big ass people.
So, Leo, you just signed with UTA and you guys are going to just start working your asses off. Is there anything else that you want to tell us about that's going to happen in 2023?
So I'm looking at doing live events, like live podcasts.
We should, dude, we are looking into that too. So, and thinking about doing a tour and I would love to have you come on a couple.
Oh my God. Absolutely.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Did you get the pink bus?
Of course.
Ah, I want to be in that one.
Dude, you can come out on the road.
Oh my God.
Would love you.
You have one that'll fit me. I'm 6'7".
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's a big ass fucking bus.
I love that.
Yeah. But, so you're thinking about doing live events.
Live events. I'm going to start another segment to my podcast where I start incorporating guests and like influencers, celebrities and talking about deep things and unpacking shit the way that I do, which I think will be fun. The live events thing. And then I'm in the process of creating a vitamin line.
Oh, dope.
And it's not the typical vitamin line. Mm-hmm. I'm very big on if you do something to damage your body, do something to help it. So I smoke, I drink. I do drugs sometimes. Like if I roll, I have a lot of vitamins that I take to like help with a come down.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of vitamins I take before and after I drink. Mm-hmm. I have vitamins I take daily for my lungs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the vitamin line is going to be based around. Is I was going to name it Damage Control.
Aww.
That was already trademarked.
Aww.
But the name is the new name is being trademarked. I'll tell it to you off camera, but I don't want to reveal it. But like, that's a big thing I'm so excited about.
Yeah, because no one
has the platform to do it. Like, no one has the balls to release some shit like that.
No, I love that.
So I'm doing it.
I love it. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I really am. Like, and I just love seeing you shed your light on people. And just even though you have some really dark situations that have happened in your life, you have chose to spread light. You know, no matter how macho you are and egotistical or whatever, you're still just a loving human. And I think that's really fucking rad. So I'm just so happy to have had you on.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming, Leo. Why don't you shout out where everybody can find you?
Okay. TikTok is Leo Skeppy. Instagram is the Leo Skeppy because some fucking rat already took my name. And then my podcast is called Aware and Aggravated. It's on YouTube. You can watch the video version. And then it's on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yay. I love you so much, Leo. You are my new BFF, by the way.
Y'all heard it here first.
Yes.
Everybody get out of her fucking DMs.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Dumb Blonde. I will see you guys next week. Bye.